Good morning. It's nice and cozy in here, isn't it? It's felt warm physically, but for me it's also felt very warm spiritually. God is here, as Flavia was saying. God is here by his Spirit. And that's good news. That's not bad news for anybody sitting in this room, for everybody sitting in this room. It's good news. Good news. Because God has come to bless, not to curse. He's come to save, not to judge. He's come to build up, not to tear down. And a bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not snuff out. He is so gracious and compassionate. Love him to bits. Oh, Jesus. He loves us so much. When I was asking the Lord what to share this morning, he said I should share something with you that he laid on my heart back in September. So I hope you don't mind. I think it's important for us in this season. Because it feels like a new season. It feels like a new season. Slough is feeling like a new season. I look around this room, you know, guys, and it seemed to me like it's a new season. There's life in this room has sprung up in the last few months. I haven't visited you for a few months, and I just see a difference in you. I see a difference in your faces. I see a difference in the feel of the place. Life is springing up here. It's a new season. And what the Lord said to me back in September was from a verse in Daniel, chapter 7, verse 22. In fact, I'll start at verse 21. It says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Until the Ancients of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Sometimes it feels like that. We're in a war. We know we're in a war. And sometimes it feels like the enemy's been given power and he's overcoming. And it feels like we're coming under his influence and we feel under attack. He's prevailing against us. But here it says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. You know, the truth is, that happened 2,000 years ago. The Ancient of Days came in the form of a man, a baby born at this time of year, a boy born in a backwater place, a nowhere place, in a nowhere town, announced to nowhere people, scruffy old shepherds on the hilltop. The Saviour of the world has been born. The Ancient of Days has come. Judgment is being declared in favour of the saints of the Most High. And now it's the time for the saints to possess the kingdom. And I really feel that in my spirit as I, you know, when I preach to all the congregations. Now is the time for us to possess the kingdom. Whatever our experiences have been, it may have been the enemy's been prevailing. It may have been that we've been prevailing. But whatever that is, our experience is, the truth is now is the time for us to possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. But you know, and whenever I talk about that, I have to talk about my favourite subject. Love. You can never tire of talking about love. God is love. The whole reason for creation is love. And you know, I want to talk about love and peace this morning. I'm going to be a hippie. Love and peace, man. Sounds very John Lennon-like, doesn't it? I'm glad you reminded me of that song. All you need is love. Wow, 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 wow. All you need is love. Wah, 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 wah. All you need is love, love. And I wish I could sing, but all you need is love. You know, but he was a great, that's the church's anthem, really. That's the anthem that God sings over the world. And it should be the one that we sing through our lives, wherever we go, whoever we're with. But he sang other songs, which I wasn't actually so happy about, you know. He sang, Imagine There's No Heaven. The very thought depresses me. And this morning I want to talk a bit about why that depresses me. But it does. Imagine there's no heaven. Ah, my hope is gone. My hope is lost if there is no heaven. Not because I'm aiming to get there, but because heaven's coming to earth. I'm not hoping to go to heaven, but I am hoping that heaven's going to break in and swallow up this earth. You see, because we live in amazing days, don't we? We're living in incredible times. We know what's going on. We know more about what's going on in the world today than any nation or any population has ever known. Because we can watch it. We can hear it. So we know what's going on in every nation. Not everything, but we know some of the highlights. And these days are shaking days, aren't they? Wherever we look on the news and in the media, you know, there's things happening which actually are quite unsettling. They're quite unsettling. That, you know, all the natural disasters we've had in recent years, which have been so well publicised, which the world has responded pretty well to. But also on top of that, all the economic convulsions that have been going on, and turmoil, you know, all the stuff that's been going on in the EU this week. We're caught up in that. Convulsions that are happening. Not only physical, not only economic, but also political convulsions. In our day, we've seen so much shaking. Where do we turn for peace? Where do we turn for peace? There's so much fear and uncertainty. Where do people go for peace? Where do they go for good news? I'm looking at where they go. I'm looking at where they go. Come on. Yeah. Put your hands up. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary. I will give you rest for your souls, you know. We're to follow him. We're to be like him. But just suppose, okay, that we could live forever in a world without those things, without all those natural disasters going on where hundreds of thousands or millions of people suffer in famines and plagues and tsunamis and earthquakes. Imagine a world where there is no war, where men aren't fighting men, but where actually men love men. Imagine a place where there's no disease, where there's no pain. Can you imagine such a place? No more mourning, no more death. Can you imagine such a world? Would you like to live there? Sounds like a great place. Sounds like a great place. If it's true. The Bible tells us that this is true. One day, the world is going to be swallowed up by heaven. One day, heaven is coming to earth. God is coming to live amongst men in a more powerful way, in a more dynamic way, in a more very present way than he does today. It says in Revelation, I'm going to read it because it's powerful stuff. It's a promise that we need to cling on to. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 to 4. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And that is the state for eternity. That is the state that God is in God's heart for us. It's important we know that, whoever we are, wherever our circumstances, that is the state that God intends for us eternally. It's the state that God intends for us now. We can live in that. Live in, because the eternal life is more about quality of life than it is about the length of life. That word eternal, it's more about the quality of life. He wants us to live in the quality of eternal life today. So, to look at peace and love, I want to turn to chapter 10 of Luke. Just to bring out a few things. You see, there was a very religious man who desperately, desperately wanted that life. He desperately wanted eternal life. He desperately wanted to live in that new paradise. And we read in verses 25 to 28. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, that's Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do we have to do? Good question, because you just told me you want to live in that world, most of you. You know, I was a bit disappointed not everybody was going, me! But, you know, most of you want to know what to do. And here's this guy, religious guy, saying, Jesus, what must I do to enter into that life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? How do you understand it? What do you think? I love that. When you ask, if someone asks you a question, it's always great just to say, what do you think? Because it's really important. The power of questions are so important because often we don't know what we think. Yeah. I ran Alpha courses for 10 years and I love it. Absolutely, it's a fantastic job. But the thing is, most people don't know what they think about eternity. They don't know what they think about God. They don't know what they think about Jesus because they've never articulated it. No one's ever asked them the questions. What do you think? It's often not until we're forced to take all the fuzzy thinking, all those things that are buzzing around our heads, all those possibilities, and bring it down to words that actually we understand what we really think. So it's always good when people ask us questions, actually, just turn it around. Ask it back. Say, you know, what do you think? Especially when they're talking about faith and they're coming to us to ask about our faith. Ask them questions. Get them to speak out what they think. Because that's when the Holy Spirit will really work in their minds to help them unlock something. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. We have it. Jesus said it. All you need is love. That's what Jesus said. If you want to enter into eternal life, all you need is love. Love God and love people. It's very simple. The whole of the Old Testament hangs on those two commands, he says. Love God, love people. It's not complicated. Anybody can understand this. You don't need to go to college. You don't need to go to university. You don't need to be educated. Everybody knows what love is. All you need is love. It's fantastic news. And the guy's feeling a bit stupid. This teacher of the law is feeling a bit silly. He's saying, oh well, it can't be that obvious, Jesus. Tell me now, who's my neighbour then? Trying to be clear. You get some clever people, don't you, who want to justify themselves by the questions they ask. And he said, so who is my neighbour? You think Jesus thinks, oh, God, do I have to spell it out to you? And then Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. It's one of the most famous stories in the Bible, where it talks of a man being set upon by thieves. And this man was from a country hated by the Jews, because they split centuries earlier. Jews and Samaritans split. And so they were at loggerheads. And tells a story of how the priest walks by the man in his anguish. How a Levite walks by the man in his anguish. But a Samaritan comes by this Jew who's been ambushed. And he has mercy on him. Binds his wounds and takes him to an inn. And Jesus says, who was the man's neighbour? And the man says, the man who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. He was asking the wrong question, not who's my neighbour. How do I make people my neighbours? How do I make everyone I meet my neighbour? That's what he was saying. We're to love everyone, Jesus says, even our enemies. Be like your Father in heaven. He loves even his enemies. He's perfect. Love everyone we meet. You may have heard that before. Love everyone we meet. Love doesn't have to be warm feelings, lovely warm feelings, but what it means is we care enough about people to help them when they're in trouble. It means we change our plans and put their needs ahead of our own. Love simply means thinking of others, caring about them, and actually doing something to show that care. Love everyone we meet. And, you know, the whole world basically believes that if everyone lived like that, the world would be a wonderful place. I haven't met anybody who disagrees with that. So why don't we do it? All those things raging in our hearts. And that's why it's love God. See, all those things raging in our hearts, the selfishness, the laziness, the anger, the lust, the pride, all those things that come against us day in, day out, without the love of God breaking through, they often overrun us and distract us and keep us from loving one another. But when we know that God is love, okay, when we really know it, I'm not talking about head knowledge here where you can say God is love, but when you know it, when you feel it, when you touch it, when actually it impacts your heart and it captures your heart so that you can live for nothing else, when you fall in love with the God who loves you, you receive his love, you're overwhelmed by that. And that is the thing that helps us overcome the things that wage war in our hearts. It's not knowing the truth, it's not knowing the law, it's not knowing what is the right thing to do, but it's actually falling in love, because love is the most powerful transformational force in the universe. That's why the first command is love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Because when you love someone, you want to please them. When you love someone, you want to become like them. And God is so lovable. Gracious, compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, not quick to anger, slow to anger, patient, abounding in goodness and truth. Peaceful, gentle, humble. He's there always, willing, like the Good Samaritan, willing to stop when we call out and willing to minister to us. That's why it says in Hebrews, therefore we can come boldly before the throne of grace and approach him in our time of need, you know, to receive strength, to receive help. We can get that boldly because God is our Good Samaritan. God is there, loving always. Always willing to stop and help. You know, when we think of ourselves, we're limited, aren't we? We can't actually love everybody the way that Good Samaritan loved that Jew. We might be able to love one person like that every once in a while, but we can't love everybody like that because we're limited. We feel that limitation, don't you? I feel it. When you come across so many hurts, so many pains, so many different situations, you feel overwhelmed at times. When I go to places like Nepal, it gets worse. But there's so much poverty, so much sickness, so much tragedy. There's a story behind every face, and you can feel completely overwhelmed by the need and by the brokenness that we're confronting. And that's tragic. But I want to say, you know, we have help in that. We all come to places in our lives when we say, God, help me. Every one of us. And we bump into people from time to time who are needing help in that way. And sometimes when people are crying out for help, all they need is a hug. Sometimes all they need is an ear to listen to them. Sometimes all they need is someone who has a bit of time to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and chat, and someone to tell their story to, someone expressing an understanding, a sympathy and empathy for their situation. Sometimes that's enough for someone to say, thank you, you've helped me so much, I can go on now. And they're living victoriously again. They've come living under their circumstances, but because you've listened, because you've hugged them, because you've shown empathy, because you've spent time with them, they've gone away above their circumstances. Sometimes that's enough. And other times it's not enough. It's not enough. We need more. And that's where we have fantastic news, guys. because I want to take us back now to the beginning of Luke chapter 10. And it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. The Lord appointed 70 others. I just thinking, you know, how did the Lord do that? Could he think of 70 names like he did on the when he chose the 12 disciples? It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't list out the Bible likes to list names. These guys don't even get a mention. They're just others. 70 others. But Jesus, I like to think that maybe one night Jesus was went for a walk or something, and everyone he'd been ministering all day and working hard and doing lots of miracles, and he went for a walk. Most people were tired and had gone to bed, but there were 70 people that were still hanging on his every word, and they went to follow him. And he just said, "I'll tell you what, you guys, I need help. This is too much work for me. I'm going to ask you guys to help." I like to think it was like that. So he didn't have to think of 70 names, but actually it was 70 people that were hungry enough to be following him. And he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. I need help." That's what he's saying. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray. Pray. Ask the Lord to send out laborers. Next word, go. Go. Be the answer to your prayers. "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you." "And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as set before you, and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." Again, it's very straightforward. Very straightforward. You know, Jesus empowered his apostles to do more than just hug, to do more than just spend time, to do more than just listen. He gave them another authority, it says in another place. He gave them authority to go and preach good news, to be good news, to tell people that the kingdom of heaven is near, and to heal the sick, to possess the kingdom. He gave them the authority to possess the kingdom. And it may seem far-fetched, but he was telling them to walk in love and peace, basically. Not a weak love and a weak peace that you get with hippies, you know, love and peace, man, which kind of like flower power. It's a lovely message, but it doesn't do anything. Not a weak message, but a powerful one. A peace that invades lives and overcomes the storms. A love that enters lives and brings healing. That's what he gave them the authority to do. He gave them a peace and a love to actually mend broken things, to put things right the way they should be. Another expression of heaven breaking in, the kingdom coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, the kingdom is coming. You know, and it's something I've witnessed all my life as a Christian. It's something that I've seen year in and year out, the kingdom coming in that way. As simple people, people you've never heard of, pray for folk, and the kingdom comes. Peace comes. You see, this is not a complicated thing. Love is very easy. And to release your peace over people is actually very easy. You don't have to say clever prayers. You don't have to be theologically clever, astute. You just have to love and bring peace in the name of Jesus. And any one of us can do that. Literally, I mean that. Any one of us can do that. And Jesus says, you know, let your peace, wherever you go, let your peace rest on this place. Let your peace rest on this person. We can all let our peace rest on people. And it's powerful peace because heaven is in that peace. And the Bible tells us that we're dwelling places of the Spirit of God. We are dwelling places of the Spirit of God. Wherever we go, we take the presence of God with us. We take a little bit of heaven with us. Wherever we go, heaven invades earth. Heaven is invading wherever we walk. Sometimes we just don't walk in that, in the intentionality of that. We don't walk in that intentionally enough. We rush through life, we're busy through life, and we're not actually intentionally aware of heaven in us and the possibilities that that brings. I just want to encourage us today. I'm going to tell some stories now just to finish, because I want to encourage us to step out, to live like we really believe that heaven is near. To live like we really believe that we carry the Spirit in us, as that we are a dwelling place of God. That heaven is breaking in through us. Because, you know, when I became a Christian, my brother used to go out and evangelize on the streets. And he was trained by Billy Kennedy, who now leads Pioneer. And I remember him telling me a story of him meeting some gangs on the streets who were quite thuggish, and they were making fun of them. And the gang leader showed him his hands, his broken knuckles. He'd been in a fight the night before. And my brother said, look, my brother's just been a Christian a few weeks. You know, and he just said, look, I don't know what will happen, but I know that God loves to heal. He's done amazing things in my life. My brother was a cripple, by the way, because he had a serious motorcycle accident which nearly killed him, could have killed him. But he became a Christian as a result. Anyway, so he's there, this crippled man with his leg in braces, his arm withered, and he's saying to the guy, I don't know, but I believe in a God who heals. You think, you're having a laugh. Yeah. You know, if this God heals, what's happening to you? Why is your body so broken? This is the same brother who stood up on his baptism and said to people, you may look now and see before you a cripple, but I want to tell you, I was more of a cripple before Jesus came into my life. And I wept. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I wept. I wept because I knew it was true. I knew it was true. I'd seen it, and it was powerful. So there's my brother standing before this thug, broken body, saying, I believe in a God who heals. Will you let me pray for your knuckles? And to his amazement, this thug leader, this gang leader, said yes. My brother prays for him, and his knuckles are immediately healed on the street. Now, I don't know what happened to that gang leader, but that was a sign for him. That was a sign for him pointing the way, that there is a God in heaven who cares enough for him and for everybody that comes to him. A few months later, after I'd become a Christian, I sat at Bible studies in the office just down the road in Slough, on the A4 there. And once a week we used to read and gather to read the Bible, and we saw some great things happen. Some people got saved, and some people got from backslidden backgrounds came back to church. But one guy came in from outside of work. He used to come from outside. He was a driving instructor. He was a friend of someone at work. He used to come in for the Bible studies we used to do. And one day he comes in and he can't sleep. He's in so much pain. He hasn't slept for a week. It's not good for a driving instructor, let me tell you. So he hadn't slept for a week. And so we just laid hands on him. You know, none of us were experts. None of us led churches. None of us led anything apart from this little Bible group we had at work. And so we just said, can we pray for you? Let's lay hands and pray for you. We did lay hands and pray for him. Sent him away. Nothing seemed to happen. A week later, he comes back in and he says, you know what? Since you guys prayed for me, I've been sleeping like a baby. The only problem I've got is staying awake now. That's heaven breaking in. I remember my first church I went to, there was a couple there called Mick and Sue. And Mick looked terrifying, but he was as gentle as a lamb. But he used to be known as Mad Mick. Yeah, he wielded an axe quite frequently, and he was the local drug lord of Hayes, one of the big kind of gangster types there. But him and his wife got saved, and they came. My pastor at the time, Mike Hastings, is now Lord Hastings. He went to visit them to pray with them because they were interested, and they had the whole church praying and fasting because he was terrified of going to meet this guy. But he went in and prayed for them. They came off £100 a day heroin addiction overnight. Both him and his wife. No cold turkey, no side effects. Heaven was breaking in. God wanted to reveal his love to that drug baron. We would want to slap him in prison for all the damage he'd done to all our youngsters selling drugs at schools and things. But God wanted to have mercy on him. And there he was, a member of the church. Fantastic. You know, Sadie and I got the privilege of praying for couples who were trying to conceive. We struggled to conceive ourselves. Now we have 3 children, thank you Jesus. But you know, at the time, we were struggling to conceive. We've been struggling for 4 years. We discovered that friends of mine from university had been struggling for 7 years. And we went on a holiday with them in Scotland, and we found this out, and they were weeping. That night, as they slept next door, my wife and I prayed for them. 9 months later, almost to the day, I'm not saying we had any part in this, apart from our prayer, but 9 months later, almost to the day, they gave birth to a healthy baby boy who must have been conceived on that holiday, because peace entered their lives that holiday through our prayers. Heaven invaded earth that day, that week when we were in Scotland. Not because we're special, just simply because we asked, and the Lord is gentle and gracious and has always wanted to come, and he's a gentleman. He would come in when he's asked. We just don't ask enough. A few months later, some university friends of my wife's were coming to visit us. As it turned out, only the woman arrived and she was in tears. Her husband was drinking, driven to drink because he'd always wanted a family and they couldn't have children. The doctors had told him they had a rare congenital problem. Both of them had the same problem, and it was highly likely that their kids would be stillborn or they would abort. And they'd had several terminations and one stillbirth. And so he had come to the end. He just wanted to, he couldn't see a point to life. He was drinking himself to death. So the wife turned up and she poured out this story to us. I remember on the Sunday afternoon, Sadie and I, after lunch, we prayed with her, and tears were flowing in all of our hearts and eyes, and we just sent her back. Heard nothing. 10 months later, we get a phone call. I've just had a baby boy. She now has 3 baby boys. They're together. He's off the drink, you know. So peace entered that family that weekend when she came to stay in our home. The peace that Jesus bought for us on the cross. The peace that he poured out at Calvary. The peace that he's given us by his Spirit. When he said, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. I do not give you as the world gives. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. My peace I give to you. And he says, now you give your peace to those that you meet. Let your peace invade their lives. Let heaven break into their lives. I could tell you story after story after story. Jesus is wanting to release peace through us. Love and peace. Powerful forces through each and every one of us. He's wanting to break into people's lives. And this peace is powerful. You know, that's why Sadie and I foster. I don't know how many of you know this, but we foster kids. We've been fostering teenagers for 7 years. The reason we do it is we're not scared to have these teenagers that often people are afraid of to come into their homes because of all the disruption, all the chaos in their lives. But we believe that the chaos in their lives will be overcome by the peace in our home. And that has been our experience. The social services are amazed, actually. When they've talked, we had a review last month and they said, we can't believe it. You've been fostering teenagers for 7 years. We've not had one complaint against you. That's unheard of. Because teenagers are nearly always complaining about their carers. And we said, yeah, we don't have any problems in the home. Even when they're outside beating up policemen, kicking in doors of their parents, you know, taking drugs or whatever they're doing outside, in the home, it's peace. And they said, that's amazing. They said, you must have some great rules. And we said, we've got no rules. They said, what? No rules? But you know, it's the peace. We know where that peace comes from. It's not from us. That peace is coming from God. It's coming from his throne. It's in our home, and it's invading their lives. It's a powerful peace. It's the peace that Jesus spoke to the storm when he said, be still. And we have the power to release that over one another and over those that we meet. And today I want you to know that. You know, I want you to really know that. So that when we leave this place today, we will go living intentionally, releasing our love and our peace over every woman that we meet. In our own brokenness, like my brother, we don't have to be completely sorted. You know, this year alone, I've had so many wonderful opportunities in the last, well, probably 16 months to release peace into different situations. Amazing peace. More stories I could tell you. There was a couple that came to one of our services. There was no peace in their home. They'd had a baby boy, and he wasn't developing as he should develop. He wasn't sleeping either, so there was no sleep. There was lots of concern, lots of anxiety. And there was a lot of bickering, as you can imagine, when that happens. A lot of irritation in the home. All the peace is gone. And they were worried that he might have dwarfism. And so it was brought to me. And you think, in that situation, what have I got? I can do nothing apart from him. So you just, you know, as a servant, as a minister, you just say, I'll pray for you. Because I believe God cares for you. And you pray. And what I heard a few months later, that peace entered their home. Their baby started to sleep. He started to develop. He started to speak. Peace returned to their home through a prayer. Amazing. Many of you will have heard the testimony of a guy I prayed for who had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, whose hands were shot to pieces because of all the washing he was doing, because he was terrified of dirtiness. He wouldn't eat most foods because he saw them as being dirty. Always cleaning his kitchen. Compulsive disorder. And he had no peace. And he came to a service, and at the end, he asked me to pray for him. And I prayed for him. And I just felt that one phrase come to me, and I said, I feel that God's saying he's going to rewire your brain. I had nothing I could give that guy to help him in that situation. I'd give him a hug, listen to him, empathize, but he needed more. So I said, I believe God is going to rewire your brain. Didn't see him for a few weeks, and then he comes back after the summer, and he said, do you know, God did exactly what you said he was going to do. One day, I woke up, and there was no longer the disorder. And 6 months later, he then testified in a deeper meeting to that effect, saying that he now eats everything apart from prawns, which he still thinks are dirty and horrible. That's fantastic news. Peace is entering. Peace is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. You know, that young lady was brought to my home last year suffering from depression. And we sat in my conservatory and chatted. And I just looked into her eyes and told her how much God loved her. And tears started to well up. And she'd been on drugs for depression since the age of 16. And she's now in her early 20s. That's robbery. Do you know that's robbery? That makes me mad. And not with God, because it's not God's fault. It's not God's will. But what God's will is to release peace over her. So that's what I did. Just release peace over her and pray for her. Again, I can do nothing in that situation. But she came off her drugs that month. She went back to it a little bit. She's still on a little bit now. But she's got a lot more peace in her life. She needs another encounter with peace. Another encounter. But just what I'm saying, we can do this. We can all do this. You know, so I agree with John Lennon. All you need is love. All you need is love. If we love everyone we meet. But I can't agree with him that the world would be a better place if you imagine there was no heaven. Because it's imagining there's a heaven that enables me to pray for people, that enables me to lay hands on them and pray for the sick, that enables me to speak out those words of God's love and affirmation over people. It's believing there is a heaven that enables me to go beyond just a hug and beyond just a cup of coffee and a smile and a welcome. We need to know there's a heaven in order to believe that and to walk in that. We need to know there's a heaven. There's ever going to be a world without mourning, without death, without pain, without tears. If heaven is ever going to swallow up earth to the point where God is really living amongst us, we need to believe in heaven and live like heaven is near. Live like it's true what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. This morning, the kingdom of God is near. And God is calling you guys now to take possession of the kingdom. To go out and minister his peace. Not a difficult thing. You can do that. You can say peace to someone. You can say God bless you. And that's ministering peace. Did you know there's a whole little revival going on in Wales around grace outpouring, where all they do is bless people in the name of Jesus. That's, you know, you think saying bless you or God bless you, you think that's a very weak prayer. Not when it's mixed with faith. Not when it's, because God's not looking for clever prayers. God's looking for a heart that's saying, bless you. I really want to bless you. I want you to know that heaven is for you. I want you to know that there's a Father in heaven who really wants to bless you. It's simple things we can say which release the peace in the people's life. We don't have to be clever. It's time for us to possess the kingdom, guys. It's time for us to possess the kingdom. It's time for you, Flavia, to possess the kingdom. I said that, you know, that it's a new season of growth on you. And God says it's time for you to possess the kingdom. It's time for you to minister more peace and more love. More peace and more love. And as you ministered to us today, I felt that, the Spirit flowing from you. Grow in that, Flavia, grow in that. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The lady in the blue there. Don't know your name, sorry. Anne. You're like me, Anne. You can't stand still when the music's playing. I love that. She was just jigging away at the back there. You know, and God loves that about you. God loves it that you can't stand still when the music plays. You're a dancer for the Lord. And you're a dancer for the Lord. And you need to know that your dance is contagious. Your dance is contagious, okay? Don't apologize for it. Don't hide it. Your dance is contagious. Be free. And as you go through life, dance through life. Because I'm telling you, others are going to be following you. They're going to look to you. Because you have a contagious dance. It's like the Pied Piper. You know, people are going to start dancing after you. The joy that's in you that bubbles up and makes you want to dance is heaven breaking through. It's heaven breaking through, and heaven's breaking through in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Julie, as I was praying again before, as we were worshipping, I was looking around the room and you leapt out at me because you're dressed like for summer. In kind of summer colours, summery colours. Got the light trousers and the lime green top. And the Spirit immediately told me, there's a spirit of breakthrough on that lady. There's a spirit of breakthrough on you, Julie. You're ahead of the curve. You can lead people into breakthrough into new seasons. Summer's not here yet, but for you, the summer's here. Okay, and you don't have to be completely healed or whole. And do you like my brother? Yeah, you don't have to be completely healed or whole to lead people into breakthrough. You can lead as Paul does in his weakness. And the Lord says there's a spirit of breakthrough on you. When you pray for people, when you minister the peace and grace of people, you're going to see breakthrough. You're going to see the move from a winter season to a summer season. A season of death, a season of decaying away, to a season of growth, a season of life. Hallelujah. Be bold, Julie. Be bold because God is with you. Heaven touches earth with you where you are. Kingdom of heaven is breaking in around you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shay, as we were praying before, and you were praying in the back room there, you know, I suddenly had a flash picture of what you would look like when you're about 50. It was weird. I don't normally get this. But yeah, I just had this flash picture, you know, as you were praying, I thought, wow. And I thought, I'm in the presence of a kind of great preacher. No, seriously, Shay, you've got to take yourself seriously. Because the Lord takes you very seriously. There's an anointing on you to lead. I'm glad you're on the leadership team. There's an anointing on you to lead. And the Lord wants you to take that authority and to grow in it. Because you're not going to use it harshly. You're a man of peace. But there's a mighty river that's going to flow through you. There's a mighty river of peace that's going to flow through you. And it's going to touch hundreds. Not just a few people. It's going to touch hundreds. Okay? You're going to preach really powerfully. Walk in it. Walk, step into it. Step into the destiny that God has for you. His affirmation was all over you as you were praying. And I just saw it. And I saw heaven open. I just saw, just for a moment, a future you. Walking in power, walking in authority. Ministering peace and love as a mighty river. Not just not just to ones and twos, but to hundreds. Sue. I just was praying and the Lord said to me, it's time for you to adventure. It's time for you to adventure with Jesus. Someone spoke that over me 12 years ago and God really sparked a new life in me where I was in a season of winter. He took me to a season of spring and summer. And it's time for you to adventure again in the Spirit. So it's time for you to take risks for Jesus. It's time for you to take risks with Jesus. And when you do that, I'm telling you, there's so much joy coming. There's so much joy coming because you're going to walk in your heart's desire. You know, there's that verse that says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you your heart's desire. The Lord is going to give you your heart's desire. But it comes as you walk in that adventuring spirit, because you're an adventurer, so you're not meant for ordinary life. You're meant to adventure. You get bored with ordinary life, you're meant to adventure. No, I don't, sorry. And Jane, your testimony. I just heard, as you were sharing that, the Lord said you have an anointing at the moment to open the way for people in the wilderness. As the Lord opened the way for you to get to places, to get to where you wanted to go, opened the way for you to receive some of your heart's desire, that Spirit is on you, Jane. The Lord is saying you're an opener of the ways, because the opener of the ways is in you. And when people are going to spill the stuff out to you and confess or talk about things where they would like to be, or where they what dreams that they have, or things that they'd like to happen, you need to pray for them. You need to tell them your stories, and you need to open the way for them. You have keys to open and unlock situations which the Lord has given you. Walk in it. Possess the kingdom. It's time has come for you to possess the kingdom. Keep us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But this is for all of us, guys. What I'm saying is for all of us to walk in. It's not for the leaders. It's for every man, woman, and child, the body of Jesus. We can all release the peace wherever we go. We can all release his love wherever we go. So if you really want to walk in more of that, if today, if your heart has been stirred up today and you say, yes, actually, I want to help Jesus, I want to be one of those labourers that he's sending out, I want to actually go intentionally to release peace from this day forward in a different way than I have been, then I want you to stand and I want to pray with you, because there's a grace coming for breakthrough in that, because it's time for you to possess the kingdom. I mean, if everybody was going to stand, you're going to see amazing things. Because if you all fall in love with Jesus, if you all look at gazing on his face, if you're all loving everyone you meet, and if you're all living like heaven is near, actually, there's going to be a revival breakout. It can't not. It really can't not. Father, you know we're weak. You know that we are weak. We're jars of clay. But you've considered us worthy. We're weak, but we're worthy. You've considered us worthy. Worthy enough to die for. Worthy enough to give yourself for. Worthy enough to pour out your spirit into, to fill us up. These jars of clay with such rich treasure. Heaven, fill us up with your spirit. Thank you that we are a place where heaven touches earth. We are now a place where heaven invades earth. Thank you, Lord God, that we are a thin place where people can touch heaven. When they touch us, they can touch heaven. And Lord God, we come to you today and we say yes to that truth. Like Mary did when you said, today, the Spirit of God's going to come on, you're going to have a baby. She said, let it be to me according to your will. Father, we say, let it be to me according to your will. I want to be a place where heaven touches earth. I want to be a place, Lord God, where peace, your peace and your love are released into this place. I want to be a place where people come to and with brokenness and they leave mended. And I'm prepared to look foolish. I'm prepared to look foolish. I'm prepared to tell people, Lord, there's a Father in heaven who loves them, who's gracious enough to give them what they don't deserve. Lord Jesus, help me in my weakness now, because I cannot do this on my own. I cannot do this in my own strength. But ask you, Lord God, to fill me again with your Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Come. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for that anointing, for that authority. Thank you, Lord God. Only help me to walk in it. Teach me how to walk in it. From glory to glory, teach me how to walk in it. From glory to glory. Father, I release your peace over this room right now in the name of Jesus. I release your favor and your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that revival's come into this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that heaven is invading this place. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he says, I will teach you what to say. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to teach you what to say. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the actions. You don't have to worry about that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're amazing. We love you. We love you. Amen. Amen.
You guys can sit down if you like. Thank you so much, Colin. Thank you so much. That has been amazing, hasn't it? Let's just promise that when we go out, we're going to take this, because something has been burdened in here, hasn't it? In all of us. It's in there. And we can bring it out and we can impact people. And you know what? The world needs us. It needs us because we have the glory, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, and the world needs us so much. It's desperate out there.